Okay, so before we start second session, if you have any question. Okay.
I just have a question maybe about this. These practices we're learning today, are they for someone who could, like a yogi who can already maintain the awareness, or is it for someone who maybe can do it sometimes, but this is also to maintain their own
thinking? I didn't catch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are these practices we're learning today for someone who can already stay in awareness all the time? Or are they just to help you?
It will help you. First, it will help you. Then after that, once you are familiar with this practice, then not necessary to do these methods. So you've been able to, awareness and all the times. Yeah. But for now, so without meditating, we are not able to, awareness. So when we say awareness, it means I have to do some meditate. I have to, sitting on a cushion, then I cannot read, I cannot write, I cannot see, I cannot talk, then I have to maintain, awareness, So, but this part is actually, we are doing very short period of the time. We're just doing meditation for hours, maybe 2 hours. The rest of the time, so we are not able to maintain the awareness. So these methods, so these 13 methods actually help us to how to maintain and awareness. Okay, now the second one, that 13th of the second one is a purification ritual. It's called cleansing ritual. Because sometimes it's called bathing yoga. So there's different ways to do this. Purification yoga, also ritual. There's a outer purification ritual and inner purification ritual, and there's a secret purification ritual. The most of the time, when we practice some deities was a mandala practice, like a higher tantric Vajrasattva practice. So that's through that ritual, or maybe through that practice, then we have to, actually that it means self visualization and front visualization and considerations. So these are outer purification ritual. So then we have to have like a vas and a pumba. So this one is pumba. So through that practice, then why we always use purifying, use the pumba, So there's a water in the pumba, then we put some saffron in there. But actually, that is not a saffron, but actually there's a Kriya Yoga and Tantra Yoga. In a Kriya Yoga and Tantra Yoga, actually there's a different different kind of the saffron. Actually, people say saffron is only one part. It's only part. Actually, in Kriya Yoga, we have 25 different items, different stuffs, put together. Then we call that Bumje. Bumje means, you know, Bumje means how to, you know, the water, you know, we transform into amrita. So transform into, you know, a sacred, then we have to use 25 different, you know, the stuffs in put in a vase. But that is a Kriya Tantric practice. And Yoga Tantric, then we put different, more extra, there's an extra 10 different, you know, stuff on that. That's called 35. But actually, that is not very important, but some, you all for, you know, somehow practicing in Vajrayana, then when we say, when we receive that vas, you know, water, then we say, that's ganlu, ganlu in Chinese, but maybe in English, we say, sometimes we use Sanskrit words, we call amrita, amrita, but it's a blessing water, something like that. But actually, we actually it's necessary to understand. So, what kind of, you know, stuffs they put in a vase? There's a Kriya Tantra, there's a 32 difference, and Yoga Tantra, there's a 35 difference, you know, stuffs they put in a vase. Then that vase, you know, put in a in a mandala. So that called vase conservation. So for vase conservation, so you have to practice, you know, self visualization practice and front visualization practice. Without self visualization practice and front visualization practice, you cannot bless this vase of the water. It's if you would just water put in a vase, it cannot be, you know, amrita. It cannot be, you know, blessed. It just was water. It's a saffron water. Just a saffron water. It's nothing. It just changed the color. The water changed the color. That's all. So once you practice the outer purification ritual, then there's the liberate, you know, the sadhana. Then through that sadhana practice, then that was, you know, water of the death was is transformed into the amrita. So there's that water, then we, you know, wash, you know, face, we drink it, and we just spray it, the areas. So it represent, you know, the purify. So all the, you know, outer negatives. So that is the, you know, is the first part. But actually, when we, if you really, it's a liberate part. We cannot do, you know, just single person. We only can practice. We only can practice. There is a how to call that? Vajra subjugator, yeah, it's a deity. There's a short sadhana with namachanda benda todaya hulu hulu tita tita benda benda hana hana amrita hum pe. But that is the, you know, short mantra. So we just recite that mantra, then we do the purification, the ritual. So that is the very short one. So before that, there's a short sadhana. You know, actually, when we walk up, we done awake yoga. Then after that, then we do this purification yoga. The purification yoga actually itself has two. You know, first we purification our tongue, you know, purification our tongue, so blessed. Then second one, then we do outer purification ritual, and So those are, we don't have this test. I just give you an idea. But the practically we can, what we can do is, we can do the concise purification ritual. That is the what we can do. So that is we call that inner purification ritual. So then Vajrasattva practice, you know, as you are doing Vajrasattva practice, we visualize Vajrasattva on top of our head. Then there's the 100 syllable mantra and short syllable mantra and how to call it, the heart of the Vajrasattva. Then through our supplication, then the amrita, maybe the blessing water, and drops, then purify our negative karma and all the emotional, all the defilement and all the sickness, all the bad karmas, the purify. So actually, this part is we call as inner purification practice. When you're doing poor foundation, the second one, that's a Vajrasattva practice, but actually that is inner purification practice. So we can do that, or you can, after woke up, then you just recite Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya. Just recite the 100 syllable mantra, and during your brush, or during your wash, or maybe during your taking bath, then you just recite 100 syllable mantra, or you can recite Om Amrita Kundali Hana Hana Hong Pe. You just this short a mantra, or you just more easier way to do Om Vajrasattva Hong. Just very short, you just recite the Om Vajrasattva Hong. So actually that is a continue intercession practice, because after we woke up, okay, there's a woke up yoga. Then after that, when we when we brush and we shower or so, then this period, then we don't have any methods, so this period, so we can practice. So we through the reciting the mantra, Om Medha Sato Hong, Om Medha Amrita Kundala Hana Hana Hong Pe, or you can recite the long one, Om Medha Sato Samaya 100 syllable. So during your cleansing, so you can recite those mantra. So that is also which is we call inner purification ritual. But there is the third part is a secret purification ritual. But actually that is only can be done through the visualization. Through the visualization, self-visualization, how to call it, only the self-visualization. But second inner purification ritual, you have to visualize Dorje Sato. Vajrasattva is top of your head, but in a secret purification ritual, then you don't need to visualize top of your head. You have to visualize yourself as a Vajrasattva, So that practice, but that practice we are not doing. So I think more easier way to, after you woke up, then you just start reciting the mantra. You just walking around, and you are maybe you are preparing breakfast, maybe you are doing some how to call that how to call that Anyway, after you woke up, yeah, you can recite those mantra. So actually, this is the we can do this part in Tibet. You know, we have a traditional. You know, so people might be sick, or maybe there's some spirit. Affect by spirit. So then we used to go to. See Rinpoche's or maybe the high realization master, then we receive those water, then the purification, purification, So actually, this is in America is not gonna be happened, you know. So we don't know where to go. So better every day. Every morning, even at night, when we take shower, when we're doing these things, then we can recite the mantra, But in Taiwan, or maybe in Asian, some of the Asian country, their philosophy is like you cannot recite the mantra in bathroom. But actually, in yogi practice, you can recite the mantra anywhere. Anywhere you can recite the mantra. Because they have a particular mantra. Each one of our action. So in our entire our daily life, actually we have lots of actions. Lots of activities. These activities actually actually no choice. You have to do those many activities. So those activity actually there's a mantra. There is a mantra. You have to recite that mantra. Then make those activity. Those activity become meaningful and benefits. Otherwise we're wasting lots of time. So that this is the purification part. So we are not going too much detail on it. And I don't know. Because we don't have sadhana, we don't have this text, so I cannot go in detail. So I try to give you idea. It's an easier way, so you can recite those mantras. Okay. The third part is observe the precepts. So observe or maintain our vows. So actually, we have been taking vow during the refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha. If you already taken some Vinaya vow. But actually, there's seven kind of vow of Patika Moksha. There's a seven different kind of Hinaya vow. So maybe sometime we took this vow during Yungne. There's a thousand arm chain restrict practice. We receive these eight vows. This is the one of them. So and also we have taken a vow in Bodhicitta. And then especially when we try to practice in Vajrayana, then automatically we have been received the sacred mantra vow. But it is not, there's no choice. The Hinayana vow, we have a choice, So we can take those vow, or we cannot. We it's not necessary to. You have to take those vow. So once we practice in Vajrayana, then automatically we receive those vow through the initiation. So when we receive Kriya Tantra initiation, then we already receive Kriya Tantra vow. When we receive Yoga Tantra, Anu Yoga Tantra, Mahayoga Tantra, then we already receive those vow. So we have to maintain those vow. It's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Because the secret mantra Buddhism we call samaya, you know, in Sanskrit we call samaya, but samaya means is a vow, is a commitment, is a promise. You know, that's a vow, built up between master and disciple. You know, then master and disciple, we built this vow. It's not like that, I'm taking refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha, then I go to the master, then the master, transmit the vow to us. It's not like that. When we're receiving, you know, high tantric initiation, maybe you already have received so many high tantric initiation, then you already have those vow. Then those vow, we have to maintain those vow, you know. But normally there is, 14 root downfalls. There's a 14 root downfalls vow, and there's a 8 serious downfalls. So there's actually these vows are, you know, Vajrayana practitioner have to observe or maintain. So most easier way to, you know, maintain those vow. So I already mentioned that, you know, when the sleeping yoga, before the sleeping yoga, we have to do how to call that? Chanhui. A confession. So that is very important part. You know, the late Dunjom Rinpoche, His Holiness Dunjom Rinpoche, might be, you know. So he said that. So recently in the Buddha Vajrayana Buddhist spread all over the world, then many high monk and high realizations master, you know, traveling all over the world this in past century and still in this century. So the many of the disciples, maybe many of the followers, we already have received high tantric initiation. But sometimes we receive initiation not for a practice, but maybe we receive initiation for the blessing. But no matter it's a practice or blessing, but the ritual and initiation is the same. There's no other initiation which is goes to the blessing, and there's initiation and it goes to the practice. But the initiation is four different kinds of initiation. There's elaborate initiation. There's the fourth kind of. There's a outer initiation through the vows. There's a sacred initiation. There's a wisdom initiation. There's a how do you call that, pointing out initiation, something like that, you know, that's the four initiation. Actually, we already have receiving those. So he's, what he's tried to, you know, telling us is, we should, you know, recite the 100 syllable mantra in every, you know, night before we sleep, you know, before we sleep. You at least 21 times, maybe 7 times, you know, so we have to recite those mantra. That will, you know, maintain, observe our, you know, vow. So otherwise, you know, we cannot practice all the deities, you know, sadhana, we cannot practice. So that is the easier way, but that is a very profound way to, you know, practice all the deities. You know, Vajrasattva, deity is, you know, is a union of the, all the deities. You know, Kriya Tantra deities, Yoga Tantra deities, Anu Yoga Tantra, you know, Mahayoga Tantra deities, the, all the deities, you know, is, actually manifest, by Vajrasattva. So Vajrasattva, sometimes we call, you know, this the top of the crown, all the top of the, all the deities crown. So this the Vajrasattva, so, we can recite this mantra to, you know, confession. So this, third part is the confession. So confession is very, important. But for the confession, we have to, you know, we have to go through the four forces of the how to go antidote, four forces of the antidote. So if we just recite the mantra, it is yeah, of course there's a blessing, there's it is there, but it cannot be, you know, like a confession. So for the confession, so we have to have four forces of the antidote. So that is very important. I think this part I don't need to, you know, give you a detail. I think you may know that. Okay, this part is. Actually, in Tibetan, it says sung dom, two words, sung dom. Sung means observe or protect, and dom means, you know, actually dom means sometimes we have, you know, some vow we already broke, maybe broke, so we have to, you know, recover those vow. It's a samaye vow is can be the recover. It can be, there's a time limit, you know. The best way is in every moment, you know, once we have broken any vow, the same moment if we do the confession, then it can be purified. Then after that is 1 day, then after that is 3 day and 7 day. I think 2 years. 2 years is the maximum. If you did something, you know, broken the samaya vow, if you didn't confession within the, within 2 years, then it cannot be, how to call that, it cannot be purified. So that, in Vajrayana practice, sometimes we say, this is like a trunk, you know, there's a two way up and down, you know. So up means then it's a easy way to, you know, reach the level of the state, then also easy way to, we go down in the hell, something like that, you know. So samaya and tantrayana vow is more serious than hinayana vow or bodhicitta vow. Okay, this is the third part, and the fourth one is offering and generosity. So offering and generosity so actually is accumulation, the merit. There's Okay, there's three different type of offering and generosity. You know, the offering and generosity. Actually, you know, sometimes when we say offering, then we try to buy something. You know, flour and fruits and some cookies, something like that. But it as a yogi practice, actually, there's no source to buy those things. But yogi means like it's an unpolite way. You can say it's homeless, something like that. You know, there's no economic source. You know, so nothing. So it's like a yogi. So Milarepa, he doesn't have any property. You know, he always living in a caves and everywhere. You know? So something like that. So then how to practice this, how to offering and how to generosity. So you know, might be sometime we think if we do generosity, then we have to collect some money, we have to collect something, then we're able to do generosity. Then we collect something, we're able to do offering. But for the yogi, it's not necessary. So that's why there's a three different type of offering and generosity. First one is water. We call that water dharma offering. Water dharma offering. So I think you guys have seen this ritual. There's seven different plates and small plates. Then to put some. Sometimes we put some. You know, made out of barley. You know, there's a peel. And sometimes we put roasted barley. You know, put in the plate. Then each one of the plate, then there's a big vase, water of the big vase. Then we, there's a each and every one, the plate we have to fill up with the water. Then at the same time, there's a particular text and sadhana have to read. So actually this is the, water dharma offering, water dharma offering. And then second one is smoke offering. And or generosity, smoke offering and generosity is made out of incense and juniper or maybe a sandalwood, and there's a herb, material made by herb material with a good smell, so that we want that these things, then offering the smoke. The offering the smell. Actually, it's not smoke, offering the smell. And then third part is burned food offering and generosity. So that is made out of barley powder and put some butter and some others. In Tibetan, we say five, three sweet and three white and three sweet. There's it is yogurt and a cheese and all of these things. Honey and something like that. We put in this. Then very important thing put in this this material, in this mix with this material is amrita, which we call there's a dharma peel, dharma peel. Sometimes there's a black dharma peel we eat when we catch cold, sometimes. So these peels we put in that. Then this one is burnt. It's not a smoke. This is burnt, the burnt food offering and generosity. So actually, these are offering and generosity. So how to make these things, smoke and burnt and water, can be offering and generosity? But actually, it has to go with sadhana. Actually, every sadhana, offering and generosity, that is divided into two parts. There's the first two session is offering, and the last two sessions is generosity. So then first two sessions, then is one, first one is the precious jewel guest. You know, we have to, when we offer, then we have to have object. So object, we call that a guest, is a precious jewel guest, is the first one. And the second one is the guest of qualities. So, okay, then the first precious jewel guest, we have to, you know, lama, also maybe guru, and deities, and Buddha and Bodhisattva, and Sarvaka and Pritaka, all those, this part we call precious jewel guest. Then this we offer to them. And second one we call qualities and guest of the qualities. Then it has you know all the protector. The worldly protector and the wisdom protector, the all the protector, you know, the 10 direction protector, all the protector they put together, that is we call the guest of the qualities. But this two session is a offering session, and the last two session is a generosity session. The first one is we call how to call that is guests the guests who are you know a karmic creditor. So we have a karmic debt with the beings, you know. So that is the first generosity. And when we there's many sadhana, so which is sadhana, you know, or pray to the karmic debt, you know, karmic debt. In Chinese is very popular, you know. We sometimes say yunqingzaizu, you know. So yunqing zaizu means it's yunqing zaizu. Actually, in Chinese we say karmic debt is not present one. They already passed away, which is not visible. You know. But actually, this karmic debt is not invisible. It's visible also. You know, maybe parents is you know sometimes karmic debt to the child. Maybe child is sometimes karmic debt for the parents because it's very easy to understand, you know. But sometimes I can give you example. Okay, the mother, you know, who loved and cared too much to the elder son, but she doesn't care and you know put lots of effort to the second child, but instead of that, but when she feed back from these two child, but the second child is more kind, more gentle, more care to the mother. The first child, he doesn't care. He rude to the mother. He always argue with the mother, something like that, you know. So actually, it is not fair. You know, actually, mother, she put lots of effort on the first child, you know. But instead of that, but though this child is, you know, is not, you know, is doing something is not mother supposed to see or supposed to hear, you know. So this is something. Sometimes this is a karmic debt. This karmic debt is not necessarily invisible. You know, in Tibetan or in Chinese, we always have this concept. The karmic debt is something invisible, you know. But I think visible also sometimes is a karmic debt, you know. So something like that. So why we doing this offering and generosity, water, smoke, and bond? So these things. Okay, example for this mother. So she feels very bad because she done so much to the first child, but he's too rude to the mother. So mother may be asking to the, you know, if she is a religion person, then might be she ask you know, religion person how to, you know, purify, how to you know, purify this kind of obstacle, you know. So then there should be have some methods, you know. You know, we cannot, you know, the master, the conversation with his son is not necessary. It's not, it is quite difficult. So there must be have some method. So these methods, you know, water offering and generosity, or maybe smoke and burn, these methods is very useful when we facing this kind of problem. So during this ritual, but ritual is not not a main thing. But ritual, we offering water is not it doesn't make any sense. You know, this small cup of water, it cannot be offered to the Buddha, and Buddha to the 10 direction, and 3 root, and 3 jewels, and this small cup of the water, and you know, roasted barley to the, you know, all sentient beings, is it doesn't make sense. You know, but in the inner state, in our mind, we will create, you know, an offering and generosity is we will create. Once we create, you know, this generate the bodhicitta and loving kindness, then though these children, this child, the first child, is you know, is how to go, need more compassion and more loving to this child. But it is not an obstacle. It is not an obstacle, you know. So if we didn't practice these things, then this child always, you know, maybe the obstacle. But not only child, you know, but sometimes mother, parent also, you know, coming death to the child, you know. You know, so something like that. So this practice is we will you know, build, increase, you know, within the compassion and loving kindness and all of those things through the this kind of ritual. So that is the third part. And last you know, offering and not offering, last one, last two is generosity, not offering, generosity. In Chinese we say sang gong xia shi. And sang gong xia shi is offering and generosity always come together. There's no ritual only for the offering. No. If there's an offering, there must be generosity. Because that is the balance, you know. You know, why we offering for the generosity? Why we offering to the Buddha? You know, we offering to the Buddha, the benefit of the offering we, you know, dedicate to all mother sentient beings. But that's the generosity part. Without offering, you cannot create the merit. Without merit, you cannot generosity. So that is the balance. Okay, then fourth one is generosity, the six realms and pardo beings. In pardo being means intermediate state. You know, which is you know, between death and birth. You know, the so so this that is generosity. And so the men, you know, okay. So each you know, each smoke or burnt or water offering. So you know, the each ritual have a four steps. You know, first two step is offering, and as last two is generosity. It's always there. So sometimes might be we get confused in America. I don't know, in Taiwan, yeah, many people confuse because we cannot prepare this stuff. You know, is you know, food for the burn or the maybe smoke offering, these stuff. So then we go to store and, you know, go to store in the Buddhist store. You know, so they are selling lots of stuff which is used for the ritual. So when we ask them, I need to do an offering, smoke offering, then they will say, you want to do an offering or generosity? The most of the people, they choose generosity. Because why? Because there's a lots of obstacle. But someone, some spirit or maybe some, karmic debt is, troubling, is making obstacle. So that's why I have to do the smoke offering. But actually, smoke offering and burnt offering or smoke generosity and burnt generosity is different. One is smell, good smell with the smoke. But another is a burn with the food. Burned, it's not necessary. It's a good smell, It's not necessary. When we burn something, maybe barbecue is a good smell, but any other stuff, if you burn, then it's not necessary. It's a good smell, But it's a burn means something you roasted, something you burn, So that is the test. That is the test. So these two. In where I live in Taiwan, so sometimes there's a confuse, the offering and generosity, they practice, way of, different, So this Sangong and Xiashi is always together, always together. There's no particular, product for the Xiashi. There's no particular product for the offering or generosity. It's always together. Okay. It's easy to, you can make this easy. If you practice smoke offering, it's not necessary. You have to, burn bundle of the incense, then to, create a lot of smoke, then maybe your neighbor will complain. It's not necessary. You just burn a stick of the incense. Just stick of the incense. Then do the ritual. There's a very short ritual which we call Ryu Sangchu. Ryu Sangchu, as you maybe know, but there is a very short one. You just practice that ritual. So just one incense is okay, But the most important thing is, our motivation, our visualization and our dedication is most essential part. But the smoke of the, the incense is just a represent, The without a single instant of the stick, we cannot do smoke offering. You cannot do smoke offering. But it can be possible. But this is only who have a high realization. So then maybe for those person, it not require the stick of the incense, So not, but our when I was in Xiebling, so we used to have a Kempo, we call Kempo Kedum. So he always encourage us, when you see someone holding the flower, when you see the flower, then you can make aspiration. We could make aspiration. Every sentient beings, like this flower have a smell and happiness, something like that, and beautiful, But somebody if holding is an empty ball, empty vase, then you can also do aspiration. Every sentient being, they are transform their ignore, attachment and ego into emptiness, like, empty of the vase. Yes, it's not necessary. You have to do something ritual. You can everywhere we can aspiration. We can do our wish. But actually, that is should be have bodhicitta in that. That aspiration is very important. Okay, that is offering and generosity part. Okay, now there's a fifth part. Drinking and eating, so this part. So this part is as a Vinaya practice, like a monk and nun. So we have to recite a long period of the, sadhana. We have to recite all of them. Then include that there's offering and generosity and all of these include that sadhana. So for lay people, we cannot do this because you are not having eating lunch together. We are eating in some restaurant, maybe some park, maybe a home, maybe a friend's house. Maybe it's not like a monk. We always eating and drinking in a certain place. So it is easy to done those ritual. So for lay people it's very difficult. You cannot sitting in a restaurant, then you just open up your sadhana, then you just recite half an hour and on during your lunch. So it's circumstances is not I think it's different. So then more easy way to do. So when you when you having breakfast or lunch or dinner, but actually there is a different way to offering in according to Vajrayana practitioner. Then in the morning session we offer Guru and Buddha. Then most of the time we offer just Guru. The Guru as is a Buddha. We just offer. Then and lunch time, then we offer three jewels, yes or no. And then the midday, maybe late afternoon. So if you have having some tea or coffee, something like that, then you can offering to the deity. And in the dinner and the dinner, when we eat dinner, then we can we can pray offering to the protector. But there's three roots, it's a guru and deity and protector. But during the lunch time, so we can offer the three jewels. So there's short offering prayer. So you have to remember those short prayer. Then you wherever you are in restaurant and everywhere, so you can do just that prayer with holding your hand. Then you just pray that. The before the offering, if okay, then you can recite Om Ahong Om Ahong 3 times. Because you have to bless that food, then you can offer, then you can dedicate. But offering during the food, why we have to offering? The offering means we are using something is not belongs to us. Whatever we eat, but of course we have paid that. But those stuffs is those material is not belongs to us. Actually, those the materials actually belongs to so many other beings. The each and every grain of the rice is we can count there's a limitless life. It is not grow naturally. There's a for grow the rice we have people the agriculture person, so they put lots of effort. They put lots of effort means make this grain possible. So they have to kill so many lives. So we have to offer with appreciation, then offer to the Buddha and Bodhisattva, then merit of the offer, Buddha and Bodhisattva, and three root and three jewels, then dedicate to the all sentient beings, include this food, include this food who have related with this food. There's countless life related with this food. So this is also purification. We are not, when we eat something, we will not create any bad negative karma. Otherwise, it will create negative karma. You know, because we are using something been through so many lives. Then we just eat it, we just drink it. You know, so we are nothing. We are without an appreciation, without dedication. Then it can be, you know, create bad, negative karmas. So this is the, you know, how to call it? There's a drinking and eating. Actually, there's according to this sadhana, there's a, when you're cooking, then when you turn the flame or maybe turn the gas, so there's a visualization, you know, when you put the, how to call it, container on top of the gas stove, then also there's a, visualization. When you put the water, and also there's a visualization, the self-visualization. Actually, it's like, there's a very detailed visualization. So I think that is for me also too much, maybe for you guys also too much, when we cook something, then we visualize, sometimes you press the wrong button, maybe, so something like that. So it is if serious practitioner, they have to go all of those these things, they have to do all of these things, now it's a modern society in Tibet, in many years back. Practitioner, I believe they've been, practice all of these parts, So for them, cooking is, purification, accumulation of the merit. Cooking itself is practice. So for us, cooking is not a practice, even not part of the practice, So in during the cooking, we have lots of lot of thoughts, lots of the thoughts, So something like that. So for us it's too much. So it's a very concise part, very essential part is Om Ahom, Om Ahom, Om Ahom. Then recite the praying, pray the four sentences, then offering all the Buddha and Bodhisattva and three root and three jewels, and benefit of the offering dedicate to all sentient beings, including related to this, the being life, all life been through this food. So this is, I think, is very practical, I think. Because for me is I never cooked, so I have no opportunity to practice this part, So only I have opportunity to practice so offering and dedicate, It's not necessary to it's no need to hesitate, For I told you last time, when I was young. When I was young, first time I came to Hong Kong and Taiwan, so we used to eat, food outside most of the time in Taiwan, And then it's a crowd, in restaurant is so many people, so we look different, we dress as different, So when we eat, then pray. But my Teshe Lama, so he's very traditional. So he recite long one, which is take maybe two, three minutes. For me it's like hesitate, So I'm looking around, so people looking, every people looking us, we are like performing something. Yeah, so something like that, So then, after some while, then I realized, if I don't do seriously, with a good motivation and right motivation, so I think he did what he has to be done. So, but I also recite all the prayers, but I didn't do anything, because of my hesitating. You know, so after that, then I realized, then no matter wherever, you know, so I sincerely do the offering, part of the offering. So I suggest you know, no matter wherever you are, you just do your offering part. It's very essential. Yeah, it's very important as a Buddhist practitioner. Okay. Now the last part, I think. Yeah. Last time we spoke, we have been discussed up to six, right? Okay, this is the last one. Okay, now there's no left too much time. Okay, these are the four types of activities, our daily life. So, so we're going and staying, lying, and walk around. So how to we practice? So these four types of activities, but actually there's a very essential method written in this text. If you are practicing Guru Yoga, if you are practicing Guru Yoga, then you can practice all the phenomena, everything, is manifest by the Guru. You know, somebody, treat you as a badly, then you have to, visualize as a Guru. You know, so everything happening in your daily life, you have to, visualize, or you have to analyze as a manifest of the Guru. You know, so that is the, when you practice Guru Yoga. And if you're practicing deity practice, if you practice deity means you are practicing self-visualization, front visualization, all of these things, you know. That means practicing in deity. You only recite the mantra. It's not practicing the deity. It's reciting the mantra of the deities. When you say practicing in deity, then it has to be a sadhana, sadhana or text. Then they're going through all the visualization. Then this visualization, and there's all the sounds and all the thoughts. Then you have to visualize as a deity, visualize as a mantra, sound of the mantra, visualize as Dhammakaya. So Dhammakaya. So this is a deity practitioner who have to maintain our daily life activities. And then if you are practicing in killer light and dreaming yoga, something like that, then it's very easy. Then everything is illusion. Everything is is a dreaming. It's nothing more than dreaming, nothing less than dreaming. It's everything is dreaming. We are in a center of the dreaming, but right now we are center of the dreaming. Why we say that? Because actually we are not able to realize, so essence of everything. So it means it's a dreaming. We don't know what will going, in the next moment, or what have been past and last moment. In Chinese we say 当下, but actually 当下 means, how to call it 当下? In moment. We call it moment, but actually there's a no moment. There's a no moment. That's why it's called 当下. It's a moment, but actually there's a no moment. you know. So no movement is actually essence of the movement. So it is difficult to realize. So that's why this illusion and dreaming practice is a much much higher practice. And the very essential practice, if you are not practicing any guru yoga or maybe deity or practice, you just Mahayana practitioner, you just a common practitioner, then it's you have to maintain our bodhicitta. We have to maintain our bodhicitta, we have to maintain our loving kindness, we have to maintain that, So that is very, very important. It's very easy, actually very easy. Every time we are living in this kind of environment, it's easy to remind us to compassion. Otherwise we forgot how to compassion. Compassion means we have to see something, we have to hear something, we have to know something, then we able to generate the bodhi, loving kindness. So without knowing, without hearing, without seeing, we cannot able to create, develop loving kindness. So we see in America, there's 911, how to call it, the fire. The firefighters, there's ambulance, and so those of, I think it's 24 hours there's moving. And when I was in New York, whole night I able to listen that. Every night, So actually sometimes it's too much, then it is bothering me. But there's a silent, sound, then it will remind me, somebody in a bad situation, maybe somebody in accident, maybe somebody in emergency. So then I have to, do some aspiration, some prayer, and dedicate. I don't know them, but it sounds, the sounds, remind me, then you have to, dedicate, which is you don't know. It's not necessary, loving kindness is you should know someone. It's not necessary. So every sentient being is mother sentient beings. Those are, object is, we can say an object of our loving kindness. So if you go to hospital, then you can dedicate, in everywhere. We can see every morning when you open the newspaper, there's some tragedies are there, then we can, dedicate, we can aspiration. It's this part, we don't need to do anything. We just pray, we just dedicate, we just aspiration. So I think this is who are practicing in Mahayana is very essential part to how to develop our loving kindness and bodhicitta. So this is the sixth part. It's the last part of the previous, right? Last time we stop here, right? Okay, so finally, so my limitation English, I cannot, I know I'm not very comfortable with, sharing Dharma through English with you, but these days I try to learn English, so actually I really appreciate all of you. Become a part of my learning English. So actually when I attend the class, so there's one teacher, and I'm the single student. So we just conversation, in a class book. So instead of that, we don't conversation anything, because when I say something, it automatically involve in Buddha Dhamma, you know. So my teacher, he didn't understand what I'm saying, you know. So you guys part of my learning English teacher, because I saying something, then you are smiling, you just doing this way. So that's make me more encouragement, you know. So then I'm thinking, I'm saying something not bad. So anyway, I really appreciate, you know. So these couple months I'm here, so I have this opportunity to teach Buddha Dhamma, share Buddha, not teach. I'm not teaching. If teaching Dhamma is without conversation obstacle problem, you know. Yeah, that's true. When Buddha taught Dhamma, you know, there's no conversation problem. There's no language problem, you know. The Buddha said, he said, I taught Dhamma, no matter what kind of language you are listening, you know, you can listen, you know, through my teaching. You can receive, if you are Chinese, you can receive Chinese teaching on not required translator. So that's called teach Buddha Dhamma. So I'm not teaching Buddha Dhamma. I'm, you know, sharing Buddha Dhamma and discussing Buddha Dhamma with you all. Okay? So I'm very appreciate. Thank you very much. Okay, we stop here today. So maybe after 2 weeks, then we will see again. Then I have to speak, which is not my native language, again in Chinese. Yeah. So it's for me. I think it's good. Yeah, good. I have fun. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay. So lastly, so we dedicate sharing of our Buddha Dhamma, the benefit of all sentient beings. We do the dedicate.
Jagannatha Balarupa Yesu Vetsalanova Ruvasu.